about Eli Shore before? This is super Eli Shore. Eli Shore was written by Rav Shlomo Voldi, who was, you know, a great thinker. He was a mashgiach in Eretz Yisrael, very well known. He passed away about maybe 12 years ago, something like that. So Eli Shore is basically a sefer which speaks about growth, you know, inspired growth as a person, as a Jew. What we've been doing is going through different midos one at a time. So we've discussed over the past couple years, we've discussed anger, we've discussed diligence, we've discussed thoughtfulness and thinking and contemplation, all sorts of things. So what we're up to now is Hakaras HaTov, showing gratitude. Also, now they're moved to Thursday nights. I want to add a new element to our shir, which is in Parsha as well. So at the end of the shir, we'll try to do some Parsha too. That's what we try to do every week. Because Thursday night's already, Shabbos is on the mind, so we think about Parsha. So the midah we're discussing now is Hakaras HaTov. Hakaras HaTov is gratitude. And I guess I want to preface, before we start, what he says here, just understand the importance of gratitude in life. So gratitude, you know, it's nice to say thank you, it's nice to show our appreciation. But to understand as a Jew, Hakaras HaTov is really a central midah of what it means to be a Jew. And just to bring a few examples, is number one, you know, the very first pasuk in the Torah says, Bereshis Bara Elokim. So Bereshis, I feel Lou is sitting here, I think. Lou is sitting over there. You can sit over here. You know, the Bereshis Bara Elokim. So Chazal look at the word Bereshis as Bereshis, that the world was created on behalf of Bereshis. Now, what does Reishis mean? Reishis means the first. But one of the things called Reishis is Bikurim, the mitzvah of Bikurim, bringing your first fruits to the Beis Hamikdash. And the mitzvah of Bikurim, if you read what it's all about showing Hakaras HaTov, showing gratitude to Hashem. Now, Bikurim is a mitzvah where we actually go through Jewish history. We say, you know, we were almost killed by Lavan, and Hashem sent us down to Mitzrayim, we suffered there, and Hashem took us out, and He freed us, and He punished our enemies, and brought us to Eretz Yisrael, and gave us this beautiful land. And the entire mitzvah of Bikurim is based on Hakaras HaTov. It's showing gratitude. That's Bikurim. So the very first pasuk of the Torah already has a reference to the fact that the world is created for showing our gratitude to Hashem. And the concept there is that, you know, we don't really understand why Hashem creates the world. You know, we can't answer why Hashem does what He does. But we do know that Hashem wants that the human being should recognize Him. And the most basic way of noticing Hashem is really realizing what He does for us and showing our gratitude to Hashem. That's what it is. It's gratitude. Hakaras HaTov. So Hashem put the human being in the world really for that purpose, that we can have gratitude. So we train ourselves in gratitude to one another, but ultimately the gratitude we're trying to, our purpose is the gratitude to Hashem, that we should live our lives understanding that everything we have is from the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's one more example as well. It says in the second chapter of Bereshis, Hashem had planted Gan Be'eden, Mikedem, Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, and it says that, you know, there are all these plants that are ready to grow, but yet it says, nothing had sprouted quite yet. Why nothing sprouts? So the pasuk says, Lo himtir Hashem elokim al aretz. Hashem did not have rain come down to the land. Va'adam ayin lemas adama. There is no human being to work the land. So Rashi explains to us, what's the connection between there being no rain, no human being to work the land? So Rashi says that the idea here, I'll read you what Rashi tells us. Rashi teaches us, why was there no rain quite yet? Because there was no man to work the earth. And Rashi says, there's nobody there to recognize and show appreciation for the rain. So the whole world, as we see from this pasuk, functions on appreciation to Hashem. Meaning, if there's nobody in the world to appreciate the rain, there's no rain. That's what the pasuk says. And only rain, once Adam was created and was put in the world, he can appreciate the rain. So then, okay, Hashem brings down the rain. That's the idea of appreciation. There's a new book that's put out recently. I have it at home. I haven't read it yet. But it's about Hakaras HaTov, and the cover of it is something about the rain. It's something this concept, because the entire idea of Hakaras HaTov, it stems from that very first rain in the world. That until there was somebody to recognize the rain, then Hashem said, there's no rain over here. So the whole world kind of moves and functions based on appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this midah is not just like, it's nice to say thank you, but it goes to the core of what it means to be a Jew. We are people who give thanks. Furthermore, you know, we call ourselves Yehudim, Jews, right? And where does that word come from? So historically, we weren't always Yehudim. Historically, we may have been Ivrim, Hebrews, we may have been Bnei Yisrael. But at a certain point, even in the Tanakh, in Megillas Esther, we're called Yehudim. And that certainly became the way we refer to us as Jews, based on the word Yehudim. So it simply means we're from, most of us came from the land of Yehuda. We know when the land split, you had the kingdom of Israel, kingdom of Judah. So we were all, so the kingdom of Israel got sent to Golus, to exiled, and we were, you know, we were from, mostly from Yehuda. That's the simple understanding of it. But deeper understanding is that Yehuda's name, where does it come from?
It comes from the mother who gave thanks to Hashem.
Hakam Ode Es Hashem. Right, I will give thanks to Hashem. Right? So, but being a Jew means we are people who give thanks. That's who we are. Yehudim. We are, you know, those who are thankful. That's who we are. And then the first words that we say in the morning as Jews should be Mode Ani. I give thanks Hashem. So it's really, it's who we are. It's what we live for. That's what thanks is. So let's go into the Sefer. We're going to learn what he says about Hakar Satov. So we can share. Thank you. Alright. Omar Rav Chaim Bar Chanina. So this is now quoting from the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. Rav Chaim Bar Chanina says, "Hanosin matana lechaveiro, ein sarach lehodil. If you give a gift to your friend, you don't need to inform him. I can secretly give you a gift. Shenemar, as it says, Moshe lo yada kikaran or panav. It says Moshe had his face glowing, and he didn't know about it. Hashem gave Moshe this like splendor, this like radiance. Didn't tell him. So Moshe looked at the mirror and got a surprise one day. You know, that's what happened. So we see, you can give a gift and not tell the person about it. Meisve, so the Gemara has a problem with this. Gemara is a kasha. Das kin yeshem mekadishchem. So says, the Torah says about Shabbos, that I'm giving you Shabbos so that you should know that I am Hashem who gives you Kedusha, who sanctifies you. Amar kosh baruch hu l'Moshe. So Hashem says to Moshe, Manatana tova yeshvi bebeis ginzi. I have a very great gift in my treasure house. V'Shabbos shma, it's called Shabbos. My name is Vakish Litna Li Yisrael. I want to give it to Klal Yisrael as a gift. Lech v'odiyo osam. Go and tell them. So this quote, this brisa tells us that you're supposed to tell somebody about a gift you're giving them. And furthermore, it says, Amar Shimon Gamliel, Hanosin pas latino k'tzarcho diel le'imo. We see from here, if you give a piece of bread to a baby, to a child, you should tell the mother about it. So why? So Rashi explains to us. Well, before we get to the Rashi, the Gemara continues. Lokasha. So the Gemara says, you know, it's not a problem. It's not a contradiction. It depends. If it's a gift that eventually you'll recognize who the giver is, you don't have to tell them because they'll figure it out on their own. So who else is going to make your face shine with spiritual splendor besides Hashem? So Moshe would eventually figure out Hashem gave him a gift. But if your kid comes home with a lollipop, you don't know where the lollipop came from. So you should tell the parents, by the way, give your kid a lollipop. That's how we're answering that question.
So the kid is a minor.
The kid's a minor, right, we should tell the parents about it.
Right.
And Rashi explains why. Circle Dias Imo, why do you tell the parents? So you might just say, it's just a nice thing, it's for safety purposes. In modern talk, we look at it in that way. But Rashi tells us a very important point. Rashi says, why do you tell the parents when you give the child a gift? So first thing he says, that how are you going to inform the parents? This is kind of a cute thing. Let's say you give the kid a peanut butter sandwich, right? So he says, take a little peanut butter and smear it on the kid's nose, right? The kid will come home, why is there peanut butter on your nose? Oh, because someone gave me a peanut butter sandwich, right? Who gave it to you? Oh, it was, you know, Mr. Jones. You know, that's what we're trying to get at over here. Umitoch kach yedu aviv imo shu oavim. But why do we do this? So this is the key line. Because the parents will then know that somebody respects them, likes them, loves them. It'll cause more friendship and love amongst Jews. If we recognize who gives us gifts, then we feel good towards them. You know, it creates good, you know, good feelings, it creates friendship amongst people. So the idea here as well, and the Gemara is teaching us, is that when you give a gift to somebody, you should make sure they know you gave it to them because you want them to feel those good feelings towards you. The point is to increase friendship, to increase love amongst Jews. That's the point. So he continues and explains, Sugyazu Issa Gamba Shabbos. This sugya exists in the Sefer Shabbos, and there the Tosfos explains. The Tosfos says this only applies to a gift which is given because of love, that the recipient will not be embarrassed of. I mean, if it's tzedakah, it's different. When it comes to tzedakah, it's better to give it quietly. You don't tell them because they'll be ashamed of it. We understand that point. We know that when it comes to tzedakah, it's better to remain anonymous on both ends. You shouldn't know who's receiving it, and they should know who's giving it. That's the best way to do it. But a gift is different. Mashin ke matana. Hatorah hikpida shemakabel yigoda dafka mimihu mikibel. The Torah is makdid, is particular that we should know if you receive a gift, you should know who gave you the gift. Because that's the whole purpose of a gift, is to increase love and friendship. If you don't know who gave you the gift, then it doesn't increase love and friendship anymore. I'm sure it's happened to all of us, you know, on Purim, you'll find a Shach Manas at your door or something without a name on it. And you're like, what's the point of this? Like, it's nice that someone thought about me, but I don't know who gave it to me, so I can't even show them appreciation. You know, there's times where maybe somebody leaves us something in our mailbox but forgets to write their name on it, so we don't know where it came from. Because of Admor, Bazeh, so he's referring to his Rebbe, Rav Ruchem Lavovitz. He says, my Rebbe wrote about this. Kilo kasher anu choshvim. It's different than what we think. Kinei dekar satov ukfiya satov hu begeder milo yisrun hechsher. So we usually think that showing gratitude or being ungrateful is like, it's nice to be thankful, and it's not nice to be an ingrate, you know? It's just like an extra mida which person either has or doesn't have. That's what we usually think it is. Kim din yishol love. It gives him mamash yish b'yado. Rapi din mamash yishol makabal esbonin lahakir sanosin galur mus. We see from the Gemara here, there's actually halacha. You're supposed to tell if someone give him a gift. Because we see how important gratitude is, the person should then come and recognize you gave it to them. Now, we don't give gifts so people recognize us and show us gratitude. That's not the point of giving a gift. But we see that gratitude is what increases love and respect amongst people. It's such an important meter to have. So that's the first point. So saying thank you is not just like a nice thing to do, but it's a core part of give and take to human beings, because the thank you is what increases the love and friendship amongst people. Again, you feel insulted, someone's ungrateful to you, but if they tell you thank you, it's not just like it was nice to thank you. I mean, thank you increases love and friendship. That's the first point. But gratitude isn't just when it comes to interpersonal relations with people. Gratitude exists between us and Hashem as well. Even Hashem recognizes and appreciates us. And that's taking another step deeper. He can bring a proof for this. Even Hashem shows gratitude. And it's very interesting that every good midah that we're supposed to have, we do find that Hashem has that midah as well. Because the whole mitzvah of the Torah of having good midos, being nice people, is v'alachta b'drachav. You should go in Hashem's ways. So any midah which is considered a virtue, you're going to find that Hashem has that midah somewhere. That's what we're going to find. So many of them are easy to find, but some of them are harder to find. But Hashem also appreciates us, which is interesting. But let's see how Hashem appreciates us. Let's see. Here we go. We find the Torah many, many full parshios. Hashem recognizes the good in people. Hashem appreciates and shows gratitude towards us. For example, the parsha Nidvas HaNasiim. So one example is, in the end of Parshas Naso, it's the laning for Hanukkah. We read about the gifts that all the princes brought to the Mishkan for his dedication. So what happens there? Because the Ramban describes there, Hanachon v'tam ha-kasu, because Baruch Hu chul kavod l'yireyav. I mean, everyone's bothered. When you read that Parshas in the Torah, you say, wait a minute. We have the same exact thing repeated verbatim 12 times over. And on Hanukkah, it's our leaning, and it seems very tedious. And couldn't just say, everyone did the same thing. Right? Say it one time and said, and every tribe did the same thing. The Torah repeats it 12 times over. Why is that? Because Hashem is showing honor to those who serve Him. Like it says, Ki mechavdai achabed. It says in the Pasuk, that those who honor me, I honor, Hashem says. V'nasim kulam b'yom echad eviyo karban hazeh. V'nasim all brought their offering on their own day. So somebody was before the other. So if Hashem said, well, on the first day, Sheva Yehuda brought X, and then the rest of the days, everyone brought the same thing, so Hashem is showing honor to Yehuda and not showing honor to everyone else. Hashem wanted to give everybody their own special discussion, their own day, let's talk about their own gifts. Hashem wanted to just show honor to the first one. He a kitzer b'kavod achim, because it would be falling short in honoring the other nesiim. And then after that, Hashem wanted to show that everybody was equal in his eyes. So Hashem wants to be very, very careful to honor every person who served him. Hashem was showing his appreciation to the Nesi'im. That's what he was doing. If he was going to slight any one of those Nesi'im, he would be ungrateful at Kaviyochel, as it were. Because he's not showing the proper honor and gratitude towards those who are serving him. Mechem Parshas Pinchas. So too in Pinchas. So what Pinchas did? So Pinchas came in. Pinchas was the one who was zealous, and he killed the prince of Shevet Shimon, who was acting inappropriately in front of all Klal Yisrael. And Hashem says, "Heshev es chamasi ba'al Yisrael." Hashem said, "Thank you to Pinchas." Hashem said to Pinchas, "Now you have calmed down my anger, and therefore I'm giving you my covenant of peace." So Hashem was, that reward was Hashem showing his gratitude towards Pinchas. Because you calmed me down, I'm going to give you a present. You're going to now have brisku and asolam. That's what he tells him. So Hashem looks at our deeds. It's not just the idea of reward and punishment. It's also the idea of showing us honor and recognition. And that's the part of Hashem showing us gratitude. It's one of these things which is hard to... fully understand, but we give to Hashem. Hashem doesn't need anything. But when we daven, the Gemara calls it, it's something which is called Tzorach Gavoha. It's a need of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem, when we serve Hashem, it's something that he can't serve himself. All we can do is serve him. It's something he doesn't have and we give to him. That's the idea. So there's what we give to Hashem, and Hashem appreciates it. And Hashem, Hashem desires us to serve him. When we do, Hashem appreciates it. So he says, "Alon alachshav ki mina zuhi rak inyan bin am lachaveru." So furthermore, don't just think that a karas hatov exists only when it comes to interpersonal relationships. Bin am lachaveru, b'emesi mina bin am atzmo. It also exists between us and ourselves. This is another point. So he's discussed how it applies to us and Hasham. Then we have to thank Hashem for the chesed he does for us. We discuss how it applies in relationships. We have to thank each other for what we do for each other. But we also have to have it within ourselves. And this is another level of understanding it. Now, what's the example of this? So what's the example of this? The makkah of dam, blood. Why is that an example? Because Hashem told Moshe, "Moral Aaron, kach matev and detayodcho meim mitzrayim." So we know famously, Hashem had Aaron do the first plague and not Moshe. Right? Many of us have heard why that is. Rashi explains to us why that is. The Medrash says it. Why is that Moshe did not strike the water? Why did Aaron have to do it? So who's that? You know the answer. What's the answer? Right, because the rates appreciate the Nile, right?
Yeah.
The water guarded you when you were thrown into the river as a baby. When you were thrown into the basket, in the river as a baby, the river saved you. So how could you strike the river down? Right? That wouldn't be appropriate. So what did Aaron do instead? And then furthermore, Makkah spread by frogs, the next plague. So Hashem then tells Aaron, strike the dirt. And the same thing. Why couldn't Moshe strike the dirt? And the answer is? That answer?
The dirt? And the dirt saved Moshe? Good question. Did he hide out Moshe?
He killed the Egyptian, right. When Moshe killed the Egyptian, the ground swallowed up the Egyptian to hide the body. Right? So Moshe had a debt of gratitude towards the dirt. Now the question is, if Hakar Satov is Ben Am L'Chavero, so you should feel good that I appreciate what you've done for me, the dirt doesn't have any feelings, it is the Nile. So what does it mean, appreciating the Nile? You should strike the Nile because it helped you. It's an inanimate object, it's just water. So that's really the issue. So the point is, though, that Hakar Satov has to do with ourselves. That how could I come to strike down this object to help me? Even though it doesn't know I'm appreciating it, I have to appreciate it myself. I have to appreciate the chesed around me. And this is the point. So, loko gimel makos ilo de Aaron. So too when it comes to the third makkah, with Kinim as well. He struck the water, but by Kinim he struck the dirt. Hamayim offer in a margishim ki makkah osam. So the water and the dirt do not feel if you hit them or not. They don't care. They don't have any feelings. They don't have any thoughts. From this perspective of the Nile, it doesn't care who hits it. It doesn't care if it gets hit. It has no feelings. But Moshe chayav lahakir lehem tovash. The Moshe had an obligation to himself to recognize the good the Nile did for him. Because we have to have, it's a mitzvah we have to have within, that we appreciate all that's around us. L'chein hitzavnu asavoda b'akara satov b'namidos shebein al atzmo imki barash yesh la hashlachos rabo. So we'll see that this mida, which we think is merely something b'an l'chavero, actually exists within ourselves and towards Hashem. Imki barash yesh la hashlachos, it has many, many applications. And we'll, this is the beginning, we'll get into the intro, we'll get into the applications.
Yeah. Actually, it's a sensitivity. For example, any mitzvah you do, like opening the door.
Before I did it, what should I prepare to do?
Hashem pays us back for the mitzvah. We're giving a gift to Hashem for the things that we do.
Right, so you're saying the reward for a mitzvah is Hashem paying us back like we do for Hashem. Yeah, right. You could say that schar, a reward in a larger picture, is also Hashem showing us appreciation for what we've done.
Yeah, for the sensitivity to the water, the idea you have sensitivity, Hashem recognizes that, so he would pay us back.
Right.
In that respect.
So that's a good point there. You're talking about mitzvah. So Bakara Satov is nice, blah, blah, with the emotions, but is it really a mitzvah or no?
Bakara Satov.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good thing to have.
Right.
It
falls under the rubric of good midos, acting appropriately, I believe. You know, halachta b'drachim, as we said, Hashem has as well.
Are designed to help encourage good personality traits?
Absolutely. We do say Derkar's Kamator. The Torah rests upon people who are working with proper, you know, personality traits. You know, there's sort of the reason that the Torah has the entire book of Bereishis. Some explain. Commentaries ask, the book of Bereishis has no mitzvahs in it. It has three mitzvahs in it. Very any mitzvahs, right? What's it there for? So commentaries, certain Rishonim explain, it's because we learn how to act from the Avos. And that entire book is dedicated that we should learn midos and how to act properly. And only on that we build up the rest of Torah. You know? So it's a kind of prerequisite in a certain sense. And, you know, if you're a lousy human being, but you're doing mitzvahs, so Hashem looks to you and says, you know, you're a hypocrite, and you know, you have to be able to bring yourself
in.
Right.
So you could actually have people that have these personality traits, and yet they don't do mitzvah, but underneath Hashem sees that they're grateful, and they, you know, like that.
Right.
Maybe they don't say modani in the morning.
You're correct, yeah, correct.
But
you know,
they have good mitzvahs. And that counts for something.
Rav Lubyansky always says that, you know, you can have somebody who has very good midos and doesn't do mitzvos.
Right.
Or someone does mitzvos and has bad midos. So how do you view the two? So the guy who does mitzvos and has bad midos, say, is a hypocrite, right? We say that he represents being a religious person, but yet he is a disgusting, ingrateful, mean human being. And for us, we look at that person askance.
Right.
The person who has good midos, does the mitzvahs, we say this person is a very nice person, but we wish they would become more religious.
Right?
Because there's a certain prerequisite that, you know, the Torah is expecting you to be a good person and then build up upon that with the mitzvahs and with, you know, the belief in Hashem and religiosity. But if you have just the religion without the midos, so then we look at that person, everybody else, this person is not the Jew we're looking for. This person is a chilul Hashem, the way he walks around, you know? So it's important to understand.
So if you have to pick one or the other, I think it's easier to take one and adopt mitzvos than it is to take a...
You're right. In some ways, you know, a mitzvah is an action to do. A mida is yourself. That's who you are, you know?
That's right.
Yeah, I think, in many ways, you're right.
Like the forefathers and foremothers, they were like good people, but maybe they weren't doing mitzvahs yet. And so it's easier to kind of, I think, to take on mitzvahs than it is to change personality traits.
Right, yeah. Rabbi Saul Salanter used to say that it's easier to learn the entire Shas than to change one mitzvah in yourself.
Okay.
You know, that's what he would say. Because, you know, finishing Shas is a lot of work, but it doesn't mean I have to change who I am, you know? Changing a mitzvah changes myself. You know, it's a big task to change yourself. That's a very big task. But so that's his first point. So we have to understand that's the place of a karas hatov. It's something which goes far beyond just the regular everyday thank you. You know, it's something which we have to have within ourselves. And to appreciate all that's around us. You know, there are stories of great Bali Musar that they would hesitate throwing away an old suit. Not because they couldn't afford a new suit, but because this suit's done so much good for me. I've been wearing this suit for a few years, and, you know, it was my Shabbos suit, and I have to appreciate it.
Yeah.
So just to throw it in the garbage and say, see you later, you know.
Right,
you know, but it's a notion that we should appreciate that which we have. Our possessions, you know, they served us, and they served us well. So it's time to get rid of, you know, at a certain point, you have to get rid of your suit. But at least feel for a second, appreciate, wow, I should appreciate this suit. It was a nice suit, I enjoyed wearing it, I looked nice in it, you know, et cetera, and then get rid of the suit, you know. that type of thing.
While we're talking about, Pinchas. Okay, so the question is, Pinchas was the one that speared Zimri and Cosby, right?
Yeah.
So how come Moshe didn't do it?
Right.
There's a point in here of Hakaras at the... What kind of woman was it?
What kind of woman was a Midian? That's what you're saying, because she's from Midian?
She's from Midianite.
Right.
So why couldn't...
And Moshe's wife was from Midianite.
Right. So he couldn't do it.
He felt, interesting. Is that your own thought, or have you read that somewhere?
That's my own thought.
That's interesting.
That he couldn't do it because people would say, you're married to one. So he couldn't... Plus the Chorus of Tov,
right.
He has to be grateful to Midianite women, even though here's one who was sinning in front of him, but he couldn't...
That's very interesting. I never put that together. Very interesting thought. Okay, it's a nice thought.
Same point.
Yeah. Let's start the next section here. Hamakir tova shechaveru hetivimo yidir shechaveru ovo. So going back to our point of when you give a gift, telling the person you gave them a gift, it's because when you recognize the good that someone did for you, you know that they love you. You know that they have nice feelings towards you. The kamayim papanim lapanim. In the famous pasuk in Mishlei, like your reflection you have in water, so too is the heart of man towards man. I mean, if you feel that I love you, then you'll show love towards me, because we always reflect one another. That's how it works. So when I appreciate you, then I'm showing you that I love you, and I'm recognizing that you love me, because you did a chesed for me, and that increases the love and friendship of Klal Yisrael. V'chein gam hu ohev chaveru, v'tarber kriba v'reis b'Yisrael. So we see that Karas HaTov, it brings love into the world. So this is a very fundamental point, understanding Midos. Now, if we want to create love, so one of the main avenues of creating love is showing appreciation to one another. This is such a basic mida, because love is built up on this mida. So we can learn the opposite from this as well. Let's say that you feel you have love. Husband and wife, two friends, family members, but they show no gratitude to one another. They don't appreciate each other. So what happens with that? It won't last. Will not last, he says. He gives an example. Mashal of Nezug. So let's take a husband and wife. So maybe when they first get married, they feel this tremendous feelings of love, excitement. But if time goes on, if they don't show appreciation to one another, they don't recognize the good they do for each other, how they help each other out, take care of each other, if everything just becomes kind of expected, take it for granted, that love will not remain. That marriage is not going to be a healthy marriage. It can turn into hatred. Unfortunately, we know that sometimes the worst relationships are those couples that separate, and then the hatred is like the most burning hatred you can ever imagine. You know, these people who had in love, quote unquote, a few years back, suddenly are each other's throats. But because that's what happens if you have a relationship of love, but don't appreciate each other, then it flips into hatred because there's no love shown and everything gets drawn backwards. It's like any relationship. Forget husband and wife, parents and children. Partners, friends, employer, employee, it's always the same. If there's gratitude shown, everyone feels that they're appreciated and they love each other, and it's a good relationship. You know, I'm sure people maybe have had a job and they felt their boss didn't show them any appreciation, then you feel terrible.
Yep.
Right? And you hate that boss, you know? But when you feel that the company cares about you and they appreciate your work, so they feel good, you feel good about them, and it creates a very, very healthy, loving, and good relationship. That's what it creates. So, but the key to all these relationships is appreciation. That's what it's like. If appreciation is not there, the relationship is going to break up. It's impossible. When you spend time with others, your bad midos do come out. Husband and wife, friends, family, employee, employer. I mean, when you're with the same person in the office day after day, so, you know, negative traits do come out. One day you lose your cool, you get angry, you have annoying habits the person doesn't like, and these things happen. But as long as you appreciate the good you do for one another, you can live together, and you're okay. You know, everyone's going to have their issues, no one's perfect, everyone's going to have the things annoying about another. But as long as you can appreciate what that person does for you, what they mean to you in your life, the relationship remains healthy. It says in the about an evil woman in Yavamos, in the Gemara Yavamos. It speaks there about a certain Amora, one of the rabbis, who had a wife who was really terrible to him. She had burnt his food on purpose, and like, you know, this was not a very nice wife. But he said to himself, you know, at least she raises my children in Torah and saves me from chet. So at least I have that. That's what he said.
The best in heaven. And some people, there's a lot of jokes about that.
Right. Who made that up? The wife? The wife made that up?
Which one? The best in heaven?
The husband. No, he's giving him a reason to put up. Giving him a reason to put up with it.
Right. But this Amora said, you know, at least she, you know, he appreciated that even though she was a terrible, horrible woman, did terrible things to him, I can appreciate what she does for me, which is positive. The Da'aka, Darkam Shal Brios Lahalim Atobos Lagos Haros. The Rush explains to us that the way of human beings typically is to conceal that which is good and to expose that which is bad. Meaning when we spend time with each other, so usually what jumps out at me after a while would be the negative traits, and the positive traits I don't really recognize, which is obviously not a good thing. That's natural. Marav Efo, Achiv Lasos Avoda Meakara Sato Vaslamed Baad Shi Tehapik Tevatzlenu. So this tells us that the nature of the human being is not to recognize the good. So we have to make this into a real avoda. We have to work hard at this. We should recognize the good around us. Stay positive in others.
True.
See what they do. Because
that natural way of thinking is most people, there's a tendency to be negative.
Right. For some reason, that jumps out at the person. I don't know why.
Yeah. It is. Yeah.
And we have to train ourselves to see the positive. You know, everyone has negative, everyone has positives.
Right.
So if we train ourselves to see positives in people, that's a much healthier way to look at the world than to see negatives in people.
It is.
And if we train ourselves enough, he says, it'll become natural to us to see things which are positive.
See the glass half full.
Yeah. You know, that's, you know, that we call it ayin tova. Look at things in a positive way. Look at people in a positive way. You know, why do I have to see them in such a negative light? You know, I have a friend, I've told you this last year, I remember, a friend Eric Yisrael, who sends out weekly emails. He calls them Ayin Tova emails. And what he does is, you know, he writes up in the email a story of something which happened is really annoying or really difficult.
Right.
And the question at the end always is, how do you see this by Ayin Tova? See this positively. And I do it with my kids at the Shabbos table. We go around, we read the story, we say, like, what's the positive in the story? You know, everything's a different story. But sometimes the situations also can be people. You know, this person came and did this to you. Now, see this positively. And all you can see, that person is an idiot, and what's he doing, and, you know. But sometimes there's a positive trait in the person, or positive you get out of a situation, which is good for you. And now, I've realized over we've done it probably for about a year or so, that the more you use this exercise to see positive, it becomes more part of your life. And now we talk that way. Like, what's the ayin tova here? Like, what's the positive you see? And it becomes more part of the person because you're used to it.
I think part of that is not to listen to the radio or television.
The radio,
that's what they're doing. It's
radio television these days is mostly just lashon hara and
negativity.
Yeah. Right, you know.
It takes a lot of courage
It's true. You know, but it's something we can train ourselves to do. You know, he'll talk about some ideas of training ourselves, but when you see people, you know, take a person in your life and just think for a minute, let's think about a positive trait in that person. You know? You do this enough times, so it becomes more natural. Eventually you're seeing positive in more people all around you. So it's important that training ourselves in this becomes part also an action. I mean, we don't just want to say, let's not keep it in the intellect, let's make actions of this as well. Really, to train any mida, it's important to put it into action. Because actions, you know, speak louder than words they say, but actions, you know, actions are what make an impression on a person. So he says, he named a son of a parshas Bikurim. So, we mentioned before Bikurim. Bikurim is the parsha in the Torah of Hakaras HaTov. We have our very first fruits. You know, imagine the farmer, you know, he plows his field, he plants, he cares for it for months and months and months. Finally, he has his first fruit. So what does he do? He doesn't eat it. He brings it to the Beis HaMikdash. That's his job. He brings it to the Beis HaMikdash. And we're showing Hakaras HaTov to Hashem, thank you Hashem that I have crops this year. So it says in the Pasuk, it says that you bring it to the Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, v'amarta elav. And you speak to the Kohen, and Rashi says, kafui tova. You're showing that you're not ungrateful. Meaning the whole purpose of going to the Kohen and making this recitation, which you say, is not to be an ingrate. You should have appreciation. So the Torah tells us you have to actually recite, verbalize this parsha. So you might think, okay, I'll be happy, I'll be grateful inside. The Torah requires you leave your farm, go to Yerushalayim, go to the Kohen, and make a whole declaration to him. With a full mouth, you know, we have to verbalize it. Because the Torah is teaching us a lesson. The Karas Tov needs to be done with, you have to express it. You can't just keep it to yourself. Lula Stira, don't leave it in your heart. So obviously, to another person, you want them to know you appreciate them. But for ourselves, if we want to grow in this media, we have to show the appreciation. We have to express it. So he says as an exercise. Let's train ourselves three times a day to recognize the good people do for us. Three times a day, make sure that we've... Again, you know, our off-the-cuff thank yous, that's not what he means. He means really show appreciation, you know. He gives examples here. He says, you use some words to show appreciation. We don't need to search for major, major favors. It can be small things. You go to the store. And you ask them, do you have this product? They go out and they find it for you and bring it back to you. So, show appreciation. Hadavar, you know, the mailman. He brings you letters. So he says parenthetically, Ayim Zosa Inatova? You know, many of us think, what's his job? Like, we might have to appreciate him. He's doing his job. He's getting paid for it. He's doing it for the money. He says, no. Who cares if he's getting paid for it? For me, it's a favor. You know, so someone's paying him to do this job, but for me, it helped me out. So, it's like denial. I don't care if it's his end, I care about my end also. I have to show appreciation. So when you see the mailman on the street, you say, thank you so much for bringing my letters to me. You know, not just say thank you, but really to show appreciation. That's a karas hatov. And even though they might be doing their job, but from our end, it's a way that we can show appreciation. Someone serves us food. Somebody cleans our house. If you have a cleaning lady who comes. Make sure that we recognize the good they do for us. And give everybody a good word. And certainly one who does even a greater chesed for us. These are all small things. If someone really helps us out, we were in a real time of need and somebody came and helped us out, to show appreciation then is so important. In the Salamit is Ragel Bazeh, if we train ourselves in this, we'll have a new perspective on life. We'll see the world is so full of chesed. Chesed surrounds us on all sides. And he speaks about that he calls it Olam HaYadidus. The word Yadid. So Yadid is like a friend, someone who you love. But the word Yadid is made up of two words, Yad, Yad, hand in hand. Right? Because Yadid is always with you. They hold your hands. Yad, Yad, Yadid. It says that the opposite Yadid is Achzar. Achzar is cruelty. And Achzar, the word is Ach, only Zar, strange. He's a stranger. Only stays away from him. That's cruelty. And Yadid is two hands together. So he speaks about this elsewhere, but if you look around the world, you appreciate how much chesed is there. You see the world is a world of Yadidus. Really, you know, there's bad things in the world, but, you know, all in all, the world is good to us. You know, in our lives, you know, we're here, we're alive, we're breathing, we have food to eat, you know, we're all in all things, we have a lot to be thankful for. V'kirenu zos tesravet banu chiba v'reyes, v'mira ko rabba shal yadanu mizadko. And when we get ourselves involved, we practice this. We're going to feel so much more love and friendship through a mida which we never even knew was so powerful. And now we can appreciate that even the storekeeper does good to us. You know, it's not just I go in and I buy something and I leave, but he's actually helping me out. Even though he gets paid, that's his parnasa. Just because your parnasa doesn't mean you can do good for others. I've mentioned before, there's a famous quote from Chazal. You know, Chanoch, one of the earliest tzaddikim we have in the Torah. So Chazal tells us he was a shoemaker. And it says when he made shoes, the terminology used is miyached yichudim is the word. So miyached yichudim usually understand as he had some sort of Kabbalistic intent and made his shoes. He was like involving himself up in the higher world or something. And Rishon Savantar used to say, so that's not what it means. It means when he made his shoes, he made really good shoes. He really focused on making his shoes properly. Because he understood, when you're doing a job for others, you want to do it right so others can have what they need. And, you know, it's a way of looking at the world. The people who work, so they're doing their jobs, but they're giving you quality products which you need. And for you to have it, it's a good thing for you. And not to appreciate that. We know what junk products are like also, you know, but when someone really helps you out in the store, when you buy a product that's really good product, the appreciation is an amazing thing. And like it says, midas chesed habakol hi. Chesed applies to everything. There's always chesed in everything. Zos nasik eis. So we can train ourselves 3 times a day to be makir tov. And if we try hard, we should try to be able to somehow express ourselves to them with the karas hatov. That's the idea. And I've also noticed in life, like, you know, sometimes someone does something for you. A simple phone call, you pick up the phone and call and say, I just want to tell you, thank you for doing for me today. It's so meaningful to a person. You know, to appreciate the power of a simple phone call. You know, in the world of emails and texting. But when someone gives you a call and says, thank you for doing for me today, it's so meaningful. You know, just in the summer, I plan a retreat for the Yeshiva Gadol every year. We go away end of June. So one of the boys from Yeshiva called me 3 weeks later. I can't just say thank you for planning the retreat. I really enjoyed it. I was so touched by it because, you know, I don't need him to thank me, but it was just so touched. Some people on the phone and called. You know, everyone says thank you. But a few weeks later, he said, I didn't want to tell you on the spot because on the spot, everyone's saying thank you. I actually waited purposely a week or two to call you so I really could show you that I appreciate it. I was very touched by what he said, you know. But it was a 1 minute phone call, whatever it was. But that's not a big deal. But it means so much to a person, that one little phone call you can make. You know, the yeshiva sometimes puts out these yontif readers for the people with the articles. So there's a gentleman I know in a Woodside who appreciates my writing. Whenever I write, he always gives me a phone call. Yeah, I read your article. I really liked it. You know, that's a very simple phone call. But I was so touched by it when he calls me. You know, because like it's such a nice thing. So, you know, we can, for a 30-second phone call, we can make someone else's day, and we can grow in hearts and souls. It's such an important thing. Right, so I want to do some Parsha now. I'm going to try to add in on Thursday nights to do some Parsha as well. So I brought here. It happens to be we were lucky this week. They found 2 pieces in the Parsha relevant to Karsa Tov. So it actually, that wasn't my plan, but I picked up the Sefer. And if it's, if you can pass these around, you can. So what I wanted to do, we're learning Elishur from Rav Volpe. So I wanted to do Rav Volpe on the Parsha. The problem is, they only have published so far from him and the Parsha from Bereishis and Shmos. They don't have a Devarim plate yet. I think they're putting them out slowly. You know, since he died, they've been publishing a lot from him, and you know, the Bereishis and Shmos. But this Das Torah, this is written by his Rebbe, Rav Ruchel Lavovitz, who's Rav Volpe's Rebbe, the one who inspired him. He put out Das Torah. He was the Mashgiach in the Mir Yeshiva back in Europe. Rav Volpe learned under Rav Lavovitz for about 2 years before he was Nifter, Rav Lavovitz. And he really attributes so much of his life to his Rebbe, even though it was only about 2 years. Rav Volpe was somewhat of a Baal Tshuva. He did not grow up in a traditional from family. And he ends up in the Mir Yeshiva. And he was just astounded by the greatness of Rav Ruchel Lavovitz. So in those 2 years, changed his life. So this is Das Torah, Ruchel Lavovitz. I tried to choose 2 pieces from here, and they happen to be relevant to Karsa Tov, so it's very good. So the first piece is it's the one on page Zion, if you can, yeah, page Zion. And it's I put a little star in it, the bottom piece there. It's talking about, in this week's Parsha, it says that there's the prohibition of having an Ammoni or a Moavi convert marry into the regular Jewish, you know, a regular Jewish person. So someone from Ammon and Moab is allowed to convert, but we know the males, a male Ammoni or Moavi convert is never allowed to marry a regular Jewish woman. So the question is, what's the idea? So he says, so the Ramban writes, Hanira Eli, it seems to me, so So Avraham, if you remember, Ammon and Moab were the daughters of, were the children of Lot and his daughters, right? And now after Sodom was destroyed, Lot and his daughters had children together, and the two children, one was Moab and one was Ammon, Ben-Ami. His name was Ben-Ami, they called the nation Ammon. So these are essentially cousins of the Jews, and these were, great nephews of Avraham Avinu. And Abraham saved them. Meaning, why was Lot saved from Sodom? The Torah says, because of Abraham's merit. So Lot and his daughters and his new grandchildren here, they only lived based on Abraham's chus. So he says that they received chus from Abraham, because Abraham saved their father and their mother from Sodom. So they should have been good back to Klai Yisrael. Ammon and Moab, all nations, only existed because of Avraham. They should have been very, very grateful towards Avraham's descendants. Liros mikan naros inin shel chiv karsav. So Rucham says over here, we see here the incredible obligation of karas hatov. Hatovash niyasim lefnei kama doros. Think about it. We're talking about generations later now. If you do your math, I don't know exactly. We're talking about, this is Moshe's generation. So go back to Avraham, what is it, like... eight generations or something, you can figure out the math in the Torah, but it's 7-8 generations, something like that. I think even less even. I think 7 or 8, but we could figure it out. It's easy to figure out. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Levi,
Kahas,
Amram, Moshe. I think it's 7 generations, but we can work it out.
They wouldn't let us pass through their land. That's it.
Well, it says they also they didn't come out to greet us with water. We needed water. Or else the Torah says. Right, but they should come out and given us for provisions. Right. So we see Karas Tov goes back all the way to several generations, 7 generations before. The Kiblu Onish Norakazet, and they got a terrible punishment for this. They can never marry a Jewish woman for all of history. I mean, a person can convert from Moab, and 30 generations later, his great, 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 great granddaughter still can't marry into a regular grandson, can't marry a regular Jewish woman. So think about in our lives, somebody who's in our life with us, immediate, how much our obligation is. You know, so that's the very important. That obligation goes for many, many generations. He says, we see here another point. We also see here another point. I mean, why are we blaming the great, great, great grandkids to something that their great, great, great grandmother did, etc.? I mean, what's the idea over here? We see that nations have traits. You know, this is something that we can see in the world, but it's something which, you know, the Torah has to offer as well. That they're natural traits for different nations. You know, we make fun and we stereotype different peoples, but you know, it's true. You know, deep down, those stereotypes do have some sort of meaning. And the fact that Italians are one way, and the French are one way, and Chinese are one way, and Japanese are a different way, etc. Russians are a certain way. There's a reality to it. Even when the nations settle with one another, their traits still remain. Because it's very hard to change it. Like we said before, traits don't change too easily. So let's think about Klai Yisrael's traits. Hashem has exalted us over all the nations. In our midos, in our traits. And our traits are recognizable for all generations. That's what the Gemara says. There's three major traits to a Jew. We are Rachmanim, very famous quote. We are merciful, Baishanim, we have a sense of shame. We do good for one, we do chesed to each other. If you find somebody who does not have these traits, you should distance yourself from these people. A Jew is supposed to be merciful, have a sense of shame, and do chesed. If you don't have those traits, you're lacking in the essential traits of a Jew. So we see Jews are merciful forever. The Gemara, Muva, Maisa, Bishabsai, Bar Merinus, Ikla, Bavel, Baminehil. So there's a story in the Gemara about a person named Shabsai, the son of Merinus, whatever that is. And he visited Bavel. Baminehil Iska, Velo Yavule. So somebody wanted to do some business with him, and he wouldn't do it. Mazoni, business. And he refused. Mazoni, Mazin, Namil, Zinuhu. And he wouldn't feed him. Amar Hani Ma'ara Merav Rav Gassu. So he said that if they're not helping me out and they're not feeding me, they must be descendants of the Erev Rav. They can't be full-blown Jews, because full-blown Jews have Rachmanis. And if they are not having Rachmanis, they must be from some other line of lineage, but not the full-blown Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov lineage. Because it says about Jews, the Jews will have mercy. If you have mercy, you know that you came from Abraham's descendants. If you don't have mercy on others, it's known you're not coming from Abraham Avinu. We find a Jew is not merciful, the Gemara says it must be there somewhere in his lineage, which is off. But he's not a full blown descendant of Abraham Avinu. So Amon Moav, which we see these nations do not have the meat of a Karas HaTov, we cannot marry into that nation. So now, let's say nowadays we can't trace it anymore. We know that the halacha tells us some chayriv came and mixed up all the nations. So we don't know now who's actually a Moavi. But if you could trace the Moavi to this very day, and now we're talking about, you know, I don't know how many generations later we are now, 50, 60, 100, I don't know what it is, but even so, that midah is still ingrained within every single Moavi. And we can't marry Moavi because that midah to us is so repulsive. Not having a karas tov to us is so off limits for a Jew. We can't marry the Moabi. Vadai ki zem matim in kol ha-maisa. Yad Torah ki rak... We know the halacha is. You know, there's big discussion. We know that Rus was a Moabia, right? And she's the great-grandmother of David HaMelech. And the halacha is because a Moabite woman we're allowed to marry, a Moabite man can't marry a Jewish woman. And the question is why. So he says over here, that drasha tells us that the Torah knows that the males, the males are the ones who don't have the meat of a Karas HaTov, but the females do. The Torah is telling us that this Mida, which we feel is lacking in Moav, only applies to the men, but not to the women. An interesting point.
If you look to see what she said.
Yeah. All the chesed that my mother-in-law did for me.
She said, her mother-in-law, you'll see that she does have that.
Right, that's a very good point. You know, Phil, the pasuk here, that's actually the point, Phil. Let's read the pasuk. The pasuk says in Rus, you know, they get to the point where they're going to separate, right?
Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you are buried, your God is my God. Things like that.
Right, but I think there's actually a verse.
Yeah, there is.
I can't remember if I find it is, but it says that she actually appreciated so much her mother did for her.
Right.
That's the idea. But so the Moabite women did have a Karas HaTov, so they're allowed to marry Jewish men once they convert. But a Moabite male convert can never marry a Jewish woman ever, because they don't have that mida.
That was established by Boaz with the Boaz case. Right?
Yes, that's established by Boaz. Let's look at one more piece on the backside, one more piece here. And again, it's a related piece. It was amazing. I found two pieces about Karas HaTov in this parsha after learning this in Al Ashur.
Yeah.
So we have a halacha, lo tetzayev mitzri. You're not allowed to hate a mitzri, an Egyptian. Why? Because you are a resident in his land. So you know that we lived in Mitzrayim for 210 years, and we are residents of Mitzrayim, and therefore we should not despise a mitzri. So Rashi says, mikol v'kol afishet zarku zocharem l'yorim. This is the astounding point. So what kind of life do we have in Mitzrayim? Yeah, we know what happened in Mitzrayim. They took our kids and threw them into the river. They tortured us, and they enslaved us, and they punished us, and they beat us. But still, even so, we have to show appreciation to Mitzrayim. Why? Because when you need somewhere to go, they took you in. You know, when Klai Yisrael needed to have food, Mitzrayim took us in, and they hosted us. So it's an astounding thing. Our life there was terrible. You know, we celebrate Pesach every year and speak about Mitzrayim because our life there as slaves was horrible. But yet, the Torah tells us, don't hate the Mitzri. You know what? You lived in his land. What does it mean? Mizent lilmod yesod hamidos. I mean, to put it in modern terms, I can't even imagine it. You know, don't hate the Germans. Because you lived in Germany for a long time. Like, you know, can you imagine telling that to a Jew in 1944? Like, it's an astounding thing. Well, maybe 1946, but it says that you can't hate the mitzvah because you live in his land. So you see an important yesod and midos here. Kishehincha mekabel tova mi'echad. If someone does good to you, again, karas hatov, someone does good to you, v'tiya tova katana kol deishatiya, even if it's a very, very small favor, v'gam afilu im yachad l'zeh aslecha ros, even though along with it he did some evil things to you as well, So he did you one favor, but he did a lot of things that hurt you. So Limro's cold, despite that all. So you don't appreciate the bad, you appreciate the good. I mean, just because he did bad doesn't erase the good he did. There's good and there's bad. Now Hashem the same way. You know, if we are Rishayim, but we do a mitzvah, so Hashem doesn't erase the mitzvah. The mitzvah's there, and the averos are there. And we get a reward for the mitzvah, and we get punished for the avera. So a person does for us something good, and something which is not so good. So the not so good act doesn't erase the good act. You can't hate the person. He did good for you. This is an incredible mida. Hashem weighs good and evil. And Hashem, who is Baruch Nosalam Medida, is Hashem is the one who made this measurement. I mean, a human being would never say this. A human being would never say, well, you were enslaved and beaten and tortured, but you got to at least have somewhere to live for a while, so give thanks. You know, yeah.
Imagine this saying, the cow gave a lot of milk, but she could have gone with her hind legs.
Yeah.
So what good was she?
Right.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. What good was it? So there was no good at all at the end, you know? But here, we're saying there was good. We did survive. We had somewhere we can live and thrive for 200 years. I guess that's the difference.
How about the case of marriage and divorce? I mean, how come the people can't say, like, oh, I had 15 good years with the person, and we had 6 kids together or whatever, and then it's a big... They hate each other. I still can't understand that.
If we have this midah, we can't say that.
What?
If we have this midah, we can't say it.
We can't say it.
We can't.
No, but they go into these terrible legal battles and stuff, and they don't show any akoras to each other.
Was there.
Or they should.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
because they didn't read.
because they didn't learn about learning.
Yeah, it's just. Yeah.
Like, as much as you learned it, you know, it's putting it into practice is a different story. You know, when the emotions are high, like to say, yeah, but I had, you know, you're good for me also is very hard at that point. Yeah, but you're right. You know, the proper midos would dictate, you know, appreciate what you did have. You know, it may not work out right now, but appreciate what there was. And then, you know, but unfortunately, I mean, there are people who are divorced who have good relationships too. That also exists. But many of them run each other's throat, you know. But we run each other's throat, unfortunately. It says here, only Hashem taught us a big lesson here, made a determination that as much evil as they did to us, you have to appreciate the good which was there. No, and I think it's very important. All like it says, like for instance, you're supposed to daven for the safety of the kingdom you're in, right? So my idea is that you live there, so you want to be safe. But also, there's a karsa tov. You know, whether you like Obama or don't like Obama, whether you like America or don't like America, whether you like, you know, but we're in a country which is good to us. There's safety, there's freedom. We have to appreciate it. Even Jews who lived in more difficult circumstances, a Jew who was living in Poland in 1920, things were not all that good for that Jew. But you still have to appreciate the government because, okay, but you're here and you're alive and you have a house and, you know, like, so you have, you know, as much as they're anti-Semitic and the terrible things, but just appreciate a little. It wasn't worse than Mitzrayim, you know. It's very hard to say any of these places are worse than Mitzrayim. And Hashem says, don't hate the Mitzri because you were a ger in his land. So it's a lesson for us. Obviously, we don't want to encourage or support anything which is bad, but to at least appreciate the good which is there is very, very important. You know, to show honor to a country that does house us, that does take care of us for now, is important. You know, whether you're Trump or Hillary or Obama or no Obama, this and that, but as a whole, the country is very good to us, and we have to show thanks for that which we do have. I think we'll stop there. Good night and a good Shabbos.